First up, though, the high-risk status, the 710,000 backlog, and long wait times for a security clearance all tie back to one big reason: lack of leadership. Members of the security and suitability community say they need one strong voice to bring everyone together to fix those problems and rethink the background investigation process altogether. More on that now from Federal News Radio's Nicole Agresco.
Getting top leadership attention on the government-wide security clearance process is more important now than ever before. That's according to members of industry who were frustrated with the backlog and the delays, which all seem to have gotten worse. The backlog of pending investigations now sits at 710,000. That's up from a backlog of 190,000 back in August 2014. And few agencies are meeting congressional timelines to process initial, secret, top secret, or periodic reinvestigations. The fastest 90% of top secret investigations took over 300 days in the first part of 2018. That's well above the current 140-day standard. Plus, the cost of finishing a background investigation is up by over 40% over the past 3 years. And the Government Accountability Office's decision to place security clearances back on its high-risk list is another concern. GAO broke with tradition and added the background investigation process back a year before it usually updates the high-risk list. Members of industry, plus the National Background Investigation Bureau, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the Defense Department all gathered before the Senate Intelligence Committee to talk about these challenges and their ideas to fix them. There was someone, though, who was missing. The Office of Management and Budget declined to appear. Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Mark Warner says he was disappointed with OMB's decision, and he says hopefully OMB will testify at the next hearing. OMB's Deputy Director for Management chairs the Performance Accountability Council. That's the main group that has authorization to make key decisions about the security clearance process. The absence frustrated some others, too. Senator Angus King.
This is a pure management problem, it seems to me.
This is a management problem, and I've referred to the Performance Accountability Council because those are the principals that are in charge of implementing the reform efforts and overseeing.
Who is on that council? Who are the people?
It's the Deputy Director for Management at OMB. It's the Director for National Intelligence, who is also the Security Executive Agent, which means that person sets the policy across the
government. Well, my problem with that is anytime you have a council, and the term all of government has been used, I'm sick of that term. That means none of government. That's what people say when nobody's in charge. Is there one person who has the responsibility for fixing this problem? And who are they?
I would point to the chair of the Performance Accountability Council because that person does have the authority to provide direction regarding the process and carry out those functions.
Is that person going to be here today? Do you know?
I believe that person declined.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
The OPM director serves as the suitability executive agent, who also sits on the council. The Director of National Intelligence is the security executive agent and is also on the council. But the ODNI says it's already bringing the right people to the table to talk about the security clearance process. ODNI is launching the Trusted Workforce 2.0 initiative next week. The idea is to bring together leadership from across government to make transformative changes to the security clearance process. Brian Dunbar is the assistant director of the Special Security Directorate at ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center.
It is an enterprise effort sponsored by the Security Executive Agent and the Suitability Executive Agent in concert with our partner organizations, which will bring together key senior leadership, change agents, industry experts, and innovative thinkers to chart a bold path forward for the security, suitability, and credentialing enterprise. The participants, including all Performance Accountability Council principal organizations, are committed to critically reviewing and analyzing with a clean slate and forward-leaning approach how to accomplish the transformational overhaul which is required.
Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr seemed excited by the plan.
I walk away, to some degree, more optimistic than I came, because I think that the biggest issues that you've raised can be solved. And I think this is a question of, can we put the right people in a room that understand, when you talk about reciprocity, what is that?
Meanwhile, DoD is confident in its 3-year plan to transfer all defense-related personnel clearances from the NBIB to the Pentagon. Defense employees and contractors make up the majority. That's about 75% of the government's total investigatory workload. Gary Reed is the Director for Defense Intelligence at the Pentagon. He says DOD will start the transition plan in October if it gets approval from the Director of National Intelligence. Again, Chairman Burr.
The reality is that we can do much better. And Mr. Reed, I thank you for your brief almost a year ago. The fact is the timeline's about exactly where you told us it was going to be. We're excited to see the rollout. Mr. Payne, a lot of pressure on your shoulders. I get that. But we can't go forward unless we do this.
A few members had concerns about the DOD plan. Vice Chairman Mark Warner.
And I get the frustration on the DOD side to say, we got to split this up. But if we're talking about an effort to go, if we accept some of the industry's interest in terms of one application, one investigation, one adjudication, and one clearance, it seems like we're going in the opposite direction.
Senator James Lankford wanted to know what lessons the Pentagon had learned the last time DOD owned the responsibility for the clearance process.
Why is this time going to be better? Because last time it was turned over, and then now it's coming back. Give me the key lessons learned.
Mr. Payne touched on one of those, sir, and that is having a comprehensive process in place to deal with the volume and the scale of investigative items. The continuous evaluation tools that we have now are different, the risk rating and automated records checks, additional tools that we're developing to streamline the submission process within the department. If you look at the current process and you look at past practice, there's a high percentage of drag in the system between submission and investigation just to get the submission clean and get all the data. Well, we have tools in place already to improve upon that. I talked about the streamlined background investigations and then the centrality and the positioning of our consolidated adjudications facility, which did not exist at that time either. So we have in place, or we will have in place when we move investigations back, all three pieces of this enterprise, submissions, investigations, and adjudications, all under a single organization.
Reed says DOD is taking on the process in a whole different way.
Will this drive down cost, and will this speed up the process?
Yes and yes.
Give me a ballpark of what that means.
In terms of speeding the process, again, current timelines, we're experiencing 150 or so days for a secret level reinvestigation. We will eliminate that requirement completely. So there's a time improvement there.
DOD says its own technology and continuous evaluation will cut 90% of the fieldwork that investigators are doing now under the current system. And while DOD transfers defense-related clearances from the NBIB, it'll need to ramp up its workforce of federal and contractor investigators. NBIB, though, will need to ramp that workforce down. Here's Reed.
We want to do it in a phased, deliberate, and graduated way. We have to keep our partner agency whole. They support a lot of other agencies in the government, and they rely on us to do that. It will help them work down their inventory. Once we start processing new cases separately, that will drive down the new work that goes to Mr. Phelan of tens of thousands of cases a week that we are providing them now. We will turn off that spigot, help with the backlog, as we build up our own capacity and capability.
But NBIB, at least for now, didn't sound too concerned about the impacts the transfer would have on the Office of Personnel Management and its budget. In Washington, Nicola Grisco, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.